to be here this evening. Good to see all of you. Hope that you're doing well. It feels a little bit warm in here to me. Probably not down there, but it does here, and I'm feeling a little bit lightheaded. But we'll be okay. We're going to be in 2 John. 2 John. Be our third message, I believe, from 2 John. I'm going to take verse number 2, where John says that he loves this lady for the truth's sake. For the truth's sake. You could say that is because of the truth, or for the furtherance of the truth. But why should you and I, as believers and as Christians, be concerned with the truth? John was. He mentions it several times in just these first opening words to this lady and her children. It says a lot about truth. Last week we looked at, it wasn't last week, but 2 weeks ago, we looked at the relationship between love and truth. He says that he loves this lady in the truth. Then he says in verse number 2, he says, for the truth's sake. Why should you and I, as Christians, be concerned about the truth? That's what we want to answer this evening. Why is that so important? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us. We're thankful that we can come together. We're thankful that we have a song to sing about and we have something to praise you about. Lord, you're a great, gracious, good, merciful Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you for your interceding on our behalf, for your reconciliation work in our lives and bringing us to you and reconciling us to yourselves. Father, we pray that you'd help us this evening to glean something from your word. I pray that you'd help me to say what is needful. Lord, I can't say anything helpful apart from your Holy Spirit without your help and your leading and guiding. And so I ask you to help me to say things that are needful. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And I just pray that we would come away edified and strengthened and built up in the faith. And we'll thank you for it. I pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 John verse number 1 says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. Not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in the truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have had, which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak to you face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. He says in verse number 2, he says, for the truth's sake. He had just got done saying that he loves this lady in the truth. And not just him, but also everyone that has known the truth. Then he says, for the truth's sake. Why should you and I be concerned about the truth? Well, I don't know if you've ever thought about this before or not, but did you ever wonder why the government doesn't just print out dollar bills endlessly and just give everybody as much money as they want? Well, they could just print money all the time, make everybody a millionaire in the United States, and just give everybody all the money that they wanted, as much as they wanted. Well, one of the reasons that the United States would not flood the economy with as much money as everyone could handle is because it would drive the price of things sky high. And money would basically become worthless if everyone just got as much money as they wanted. If the government decided, look, we're just going to make everybody millionaires, we'll give everybody as much money as they want, they can buy whatever they want. Do you know what people would do? People would just go out and start buying stuff like crazy. They'd buy their favorite car, their the nicest house. People don't have any restraint. Go out and buy whatever they wanted. And production could not keep up with the demand of people buying whatever they wanted, and so they jack up the price way up. So basically, our money would just become worthless, and it would almost be like we didn't have any money. That's why they don't do things like that. No, the system that we have right now is right. You need to work for your money. It needs to be precious. It needs to be something that is valuable. And if you just flood the entire market with a bunch of coin and a bunch of banknotes, it's going to become worthless. It's not precious. So what? You got $1 million. I got $1 million too. Hey, you got the nice house. I do too. Government gave me all the money. I spend it whatever I want to spend it on. So therefore, our money would become worthless. Well, you and I live in a world that has been where truth has been so devalued and so watered down that no one believes that there is any truth anymore. We believe we live in a world and a society that has turned away from or has rejected the idea of absolute truth. They do not believe that there is concrete, substantial, real truth that you and I can put our hands on that we can know about. Can't know those things. And you know why? The reason why is because the market, so to speak, the truth market, so to speak, has been flooded with everyone's own truth. Everyone has their own truth. So what, you got your truth? Well, I got my truth too. So what? And we live in an age, it's called the post-truth era, where no one has truth anymore because truth is relative. Truth is relative to your experience, your religion, your knowledge, your whatever. It's just, you got your truth, okay, so what? You got your religion, so what? You got your Jesus, so what? You got your book, so what? We got our truth too. And the market has become flooded with truth, and all truth is relative, and now truth has been personalized. You have a personalized truth. And truth isn't special anymore. Truth isn't valuable anymore. Truth means nothing anymore. Because everyone has their own truth. Everyone's rich with truth. They're all truth millionaires. They've got plenty of stuff. And you come along with your truth, and so what? They can smile at you and be nice to you and say, oh, that sounds really nice, but I've got my truth too, so have a nice day. And they don't pay attention to the truth that you have because they think there is no truth, because all truth is relative. And so therefore, there is no truth. Well, the Bible tells us that there is absolute truth. The Bible tells us that there is at least three absolute truths. Number one is we have the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. He is truth. That is God. God is truth. You have Jesus Christ. He is the truth incarnate. He came down and he died for our sins, and he walked this earth for 33 and a half years, and people saw him and had their hands on him. As John said in 1 John chapter number 1, they saw him, and he upset people. He upset them so bad that they crucified him. Because of his truth and because of what he said. And we have the written word. The Bible tells us, it even says, Jesus Christ tells us, this word is truth. So we have the written word, We have the incarnate word. We have the spirit of truth. And so there is absolute truth. And the truth that John is writing about here is the incarnation or the deity of Jesus Christ. That's the truth that he's talking about. That's what he's been writing about. I don't know if you caught it. We've read it a few times now. If someone comes to this lady's house and they don't say that Jesus Christ is the incarnate Son of God, then don't bid him Godspeed. Don't let him into your house. That's the truth that he's talking about right here. And so John is writing to a particular set of people here. He is writing to people that believe the truth. He is writing to people that know the truth. We already read that in verse number 1. He is writing here, he is not writing to skeptics or unbelievers. He is writing to people who have been born again and they are of the truth. And he says, for the truth's sake, to those who know the truth, those who have been united in truth. That would be us. You and I think we would all agree here that there is absolute truth. We can find it in the scriptures. But what about our world? Why should we be concerned about absolute truth in a world that does not believe in absolute truth? Why don't we just go along with the flow? Why do we have to combat this idea of relative truth? I mean, it'd be a lot easier if we just agreed with everybody and just went on our way, wouldn't it? Is the truth that important? Is it that important? Well, why should we be concerned with the truth? Why is it so important to us? Well, I'll give you three reasons why that the truth is so important for the Christian. Number one, the truth is important because it sanctifies. The truth sanctifies. When John wrote in verse number 1, he says, unto the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also everyone who has known the truth will sanctify. And the truth has sanctified John's heart. When Jesus Christ made his high priestly prayer in John chapter number 17 for all believers, he said in verse number 17, he said, sanctify them through thy what? Thy truth. Thy word is truth. The truth will sanctify you and I. And I'm here to tell you here tonight that prayer has been answered down through the centuries. Down through time, you and I are products of that. Somewhere along the line, you heard the gospel preached. Somewhere along the line, you read a Bible. Somewhere along the line, you heard that truth and it sanctified you and it sets you apart. Now, to sanctify means to set apart or cleanse or set apart for a specific purpose, to consecrate, to make holy. Did you recognize and do you realize here this evening that sanctification or to be set apart is part of the atonement of Jesus Christ? That's part of the purpose and the scope and the plan of the atonement, the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. The reason that Jesus Christ came to this earth and died on the cross was to cleanse us and set us apart from our iniquity. It was literally to change our behavior because it was bad behavior before we met Jesus Christ. The reason that Jesus Christ died on the cross was to purify a people for himself, to sanctify and cleanse them, to make us different from the rest of the world. That's the reason that Jesus Christ died on that cross. One of the reasons, that's not the only reason, but one of the reasons is exactly that. Not so that we can stay the same. Not so that we can go on our merry way and continue sinning and not feel bad about it. But just to sanctify us and purify us. Titus 2:14 says, who gave himself for us. There's the cross. There's the blood atonement. Amen. Who gave himself for us. Why? That he might redeem us from all iniquity. Take us out of our iniquity. Take us out of our sins and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Special people, different people. What about those people? What does this cross do for us? What does the truth of the gospel do for us? to purify to himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, to change our behavior. And the truth sanctifies us. The truth cleanses us. The truth changes us. At least it ought to, and it must. So he sanctifies us, and the truth had sanctified the heart of John. And he says about this lady, he says, I love this lady in the truth. I love her, and everyone who knows the truth loves her. Why did John love this lady? Because of the truth. Because of the truth. For the truth's sake, the truth had sanctified and cleansed and set apart John, and John now loved this lady. Did you ever notice, and I'm sure we've already covered this, but did you notice the kind of love that John had for this lady? It was not some kind of sensual love. It was not some kind of selfish love that John had for this lady. No, it was a selfless love that was based upon the truth. And something had happened to John's heart because of the truth. John had heard the truth, and now he loved differently than he did before. It was now a love in Christ. It was now a selfless love towards this lady. The truth had sanctified him and set him apart. Has the truth sanctified your heart? Has the truth done something in your desires? Do you now love people differently than you used to love them? Do you now love different people than you used to love before you got saved? Because I know before you get saved, maybe this isn't your experience, I don't know, but before you get saved, you got different friends. Well, you want to hang out with people that do wicked things, right? You just want to. But then you get saved and something happens in your heart. Well, it gets sanctified, gets cleansed, and you say, I want to start hanging out with some different people. I love people now in a different way than I did before, and that's because the truth has come in, and the truth has done something in your heart, and it has sanctified you, and you don't love who you used to love. You don't love why you used to love. Perhaps maybe you had a selfish love before you got saved, but now something has changed. And I'm not talking about perfection, so don't misread me, and don't think I'm saying something like that. But there's something that's changed in your heart. And you've got now a selfless love. You don't love why you used to love. You don't know who you used to love. And we can see right here that the walk of these children had been sanctified as well. He says, unto the elect lady and her children. Now, do you notice how this lady's children are walking now? We find that in verse number 4. He says, I rejoice greatly in that thy children are walking in the truth. The truth had changed the way that her children walked. How they lived their lives. What they did in their lives. How they behaved. Did you know the truth will change your life? It'll change the way you live. It'll change your behavior. It'll change your walk. You know that's why we need to come to church. You know that's why we need to read the Bible. You know that's why we need to memorize the Bible. You know that's why we need to get with God's people, because it sanctifies you and it sets you apart. And we need to walk in the truth. The truth will sanctify you. Sanctifies your heart, sanctifies your walk. You don't go to the same places you used to go. You don't live the same way that you used to live. The truth will change that, give you a whole new walk. It'll sanctify. Truth will not only sanctify, it will set apart. And it will separate. Separate. John is writing to this lady. And he says, if any false teacher comes to your house, don't receive him into your house, neither bid them Godspeed. Don't be messing around with false teachers. Do you know there's a separation there between that lady and these false teachers? You know what was separating this lady from those false teachers? The truth. The truth was separating her. from those false teachers. He says in verse number 7, he says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh." Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? They're still here. They're still here. And they're still saying Jesus isn't God. And they're still saying you're a fool. And they're still telling you not to believe. But if you believe the truth, it will separate you from those people. Don't bid them Godspeed, he tells this lady. What does that mean? Don't wish them good luck. Don't say, good luck on down the road with your message. Good luck with that. Don't tell them that. Good wishes on your journey. Why can't she do that? Because if she did, she'd be a partaker of his evil deeds. Now, you want to notice that someone who preaches and teaches false doctrine, that's an evil deed. That's an evil deed. Now, you and I might not consider it that, but that's what God considers an evil deed. And you're not to wish them well. Now, I'd challenge each and every one of you, if you met a murderer on the street and you knew he was fixing to go commit another murder, you wouldn't say, well, good wishes on your journey. You wouldn't say that, would you? Somebody fixing to go rob a bank, well, good luck. No, you're not going to do that. You're probably going to call the police. Go get those rascals. But the denial of the deity of Jesus Christ is a soul-damning doctrine. It is a false doctrine. That is spiritual murder, and you're not going to wish them Godspeed. Good wishes on your journey. It's a denial of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone. That's false doctrine. We don't wish someone Godspeed as they go on their way. And the truth about Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, separates us one from another. She cannot have fellowship with these people. She cannot have theological or spiritual fellowship with these people. Why? Because the truth divides. Truth separates. They can't get along. They can't have fellowship with one another. It doesn't mean that she has to be nasty and obnoxious or something like that, that she can't be nice, but she can't have fellowship with those people. Why? Truth divides. Same way for you and I here this evening. Truth is going to divide you. It's going to separate you from the false teachers and the false preachers of this world. You're not going to be able to have fellowship with them. Not spiritual, not theological fellowship with those. And when Jesus Christ came to this earth, there was some separation going on. Jesus Christ comes and talks and preaches to the religious leaders of his day. You know what happened? Separation. There's a lot of separating going on there. As a matter of fact, they hated him so bad for what he said that they nailed him to a tree just for what he preached. Amen. Jesus Christ had lost relatives. His brothers did not believe on him. Do you know what happened in his household? Separation. Separation. Why? Because the truth divides. Now, Jesus didn't come trying to pick a fight with everyone. He wasn't contentious, but just speaking the truth. Divided people, and the truth divides. We read the scripture this morning in Sunday school, Matthew chapter number 10. Jesus Christ said these words, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I am not come to send peace, but a sword. I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be of his own household." Why? Because the truth separates. Jesus Christ comes into the picture, and I guarantee you, if you've got a believer and an unbeliever, there's going to be a separation there. There just is. Because truth divides. And why? Because not everyone's going to believe. The Bible tells us, Paul tells us, he says that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They can't see it. They just can't see it. Their hearts are blinded. And they just don't grasp it the way that you grasp it and the way that I grasp it. And when you try to mix truth with error, it's just like oil and water. It just does not mix. It's like light and darkness. It just does not mix. And there becomes a separation there. Separation. You know, the first creative act of God the Father in Genesis chapter number 1, he divided. He divided the light from the darkness. Amen. He says, these two things can't mix. We're going to divide them. You get around Jesus Christ. You get around his gospel. And there's going to be a separation there between you and the rest of the world. There's going to be something there. Truth of God divides. We read about the Holy Scriptures. What are they called? They're called a sword. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. You just get the Bible out and you start talking about the Bible, and all of a sudden there's this division comes up in your life and you think, man, what's going on? Well, it's truth. It's truth. And truth divides. And that's why it's so important. Because we don't want to go along with the rest of the world. And he needs something to divide. You need something to show you what the truth is. And the truth divides. That's why it's so important. The truth not only sanctifies, sets us apart, separates, but it also stays. It's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, Jesus said. Amen. He says in verse number 2, he says, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and will be shall be with us forever. Amen. The truth is there and it's implanted in our hearts and it's not going anywhere. Amen. That's why you and I ought to be concerned about the truth. Yeah. The truth is a part of the DNA of the Christian. Amen. You can't get rid of it. It's always going to be there. It's not anything that you can take away from us. It's always going to be there. Now, John doesn't write to the believers here, or this lady and her children, and say, well, you know, you've gotten to the gospel. You've gotten to Jesus Christ. Now move on from that and go on to something else. He doesn't do that. He stays right with Jesus Christ. He stays right with the basics. Jesus Christ. All of the New Testament writers, they do that as well. I'm not saying they don't venture out past the gospel. But man, it is so important. It is so important. And I don't care how many times I come to church, I still want to hear the gospel. I still want to hear about Jesus Christ. I still want to hear about salvation. I've been saved for a long time. I still want to hear it. That's the greatest story of mankind, and the truth is always there. It says, the truth dwelleth in us. That's a present participle verb. That means ongoing action. That means it's always there, dwelleth. Amen. It always stays with us. It's not some visitor that's just going to stay for a while and then leave. Yeah. No, it's always going to be there. You believe this week, you're going to believe next week. It always stays there. It says, it shall be with us forever. A present possession right now. It's an always thing for a believer. Truth is going to be with us tomorrow. The truth is going to be with us next week. The truth will be with you next year. The truth will be with you in 10 years. You will always have the truth. It does not leave. It will always be there. You know, they try to burn the scriptures. They try to get rid of the scriptures. They try to ban the scriptures. They try to take all of those things away. And by the way, that's just what unregenerate people do. They try to get rid of the Bible. They say it's not true. Try to suppress it. Try to pretend it's not there. But it's always going to be there. And if they take your Bible away from you, you will still have the truth on the inside of you. It's never going away. Never going away. It dwells with you forever. It abides. God will always be with us. Jesus Christ will always be with us. As the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, was going into the promised land, they were going to face some big enemies. And he made sure to reassure them that he was going to be with them always. Deuteronomy 31:6. And then as Moses died and Joshua comes on the scene, and they're going to go into the promised land again. Again, he reassures Joshua, look, I will be with you always. Be courageous. Don't fear. I'm with you always. God will always be with us. No matter what kind of trial that you're going through, no matter what kind of trouble you're going through, God will be with you. And Jesus Christ gives his disciples in the New Testament the same promise. Go out and preach the gospel to every creature. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The truth abides in the believer. It stays. That's why you and I ought to be preoccupied with the truth. It stays. Well, if the truth sanctifies, and it sets us apart, and it stays with us, what should we do with the truth? What should we do with the truth? There's many things that you could do with it. There's one thing that I want to drive home tonight, and that is that you must love and embrace the truth. Love it and embrace it. I just told you about how the children of Israel are going over into the promised land. And God said, I will be with you always. Have courage. Don't fear. I'm with you. But do you know what he says afterwards? He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and observe to do all that is written therein. You better get the book of the law and meditate. That means think about it. Meditate on it, man, mull it over. Read it, study it, understand it. Meditate shall not depart out of thy mouth. You ought to talk about it and observe to do whatever it says to do. Love and embrace the truth. Love and embrace it. Again, Psalm 1 says this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's the truth. That's the truth. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law shall he meditate day and night, all the time meditating on it. And what happens if you and I meditate upon the word of God, upon the truth, day and night? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You and I are living in a sea of lies that is called truths. That's what we're living in. And how are we going to stand fast? You're going to have to meditate on the book. You're going to have to delight in the law of the Lord, in the Word of God. You know, when you delight to eat your favorite food, what does it compel you to do? How many times do you eat during the day? Once, twice, three times maybe? Why do you do that? You do that because you love it. You delight in it. Man, I love my favorite food. I'm going to eat it. And you savor that food. And you consume that food. And you eat that food. And you digest that food. And that food gets into your system. And it becomes a part of you. And it becomes your strength. And that's what motivates you and gives you your strength throughout the day, isn't it? You know, if you and I don't ever consume any of the Word of God, or we eat maybe once a week, 1 hour a week, perhaps, maybe, we're going to be pretty weak. I'm going to be pretty weak. You couldn't make it on one meal a week. And if you only eat one meal a week, everyone's going to start looking at you like, are you sick or something? You're only eating one time a week? I mean, don't you like food anymore? But yet Christians do it all the time. They don't ever read the Bible. Their Bible sits on the shelf and gets dusty. They don't even know where it's at. We have to delight in the law of the Lord. Why? Because we're swimming in a sea of lies. And if you and I do not have the truth ingrained in us, we're going to get swept away. We must have the truth. So we must think about it, obey it, and then Jesus Christ and the truth about him and the truth that is contained in the scriptures, that's going to be our strength. That's going to be our sustenance. That's going to be our nourishment. But if we're always living on junk food and stuff that we watch on TV and social media and all this other junk, well, you're not gonna be too healthy as a Christian. You got to get some good food in there. Amen. For the truth's sake. For the truth's sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us. Lord, we thank you for the truth. in a world of lies, in a world of untruths that are masquerading as truth, we thank you for the truth. We pray that you'd help us, Lord, to, Lord, love the truth, share the truth, Lord, and just consume the truth and obey the truth. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us. Praying as these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.